I'm here. Go ahead. So you think it could go either way?
Yeah, because it's a fact that in Prabhupada's perfect comments, he goes both ways. He says when the self is actually absorbed in the supreme self, then he becomes satisfied. And on the other hand, there's a level of consciousness in which one gets out of the body and sees himself as a soul, as opposed to the body, which means taking shelter of the self, where the smallness self.
What do you think, Baba?
Well, like I said, I think that kind of discussion begins from 256. I think it really.
What does 256 say?
So one who gives up all manner of sense gratification arising from their concoction and takes pleasure in the self alone.
And there the self is the big self or the little self?
The little self, the little self.
Uh-huh.
Starts with that. That's, you know, it seems to me that the discussion in the second and third chapter is really to do with the soul.
So you think it should stay small self?
I think so.
But then the English version is big self.
Which English version?
Well, they just changed it.
The meaning
up until now.
They changed it to the small?
No, they changed it to the big.
Uh-huh.
It's small self.
Is this one of the complaints?
I like Bhagavad-gita, and I think he does have an argument. And for the particular one...
What, for making it small or big?
No, for making it big in that one particular verse.
Well, we're talking
about
317.
Yeah.
Where's
the key? That's Yitoto, right?
I can't remember. Between.
I have them upstairs. If you go in my room, right to the left, you'll see about five, six gitas, one after the other.
Yeah.
I'd always. I mean, I always took it as small as.
Yeah.
I mean, you could argue for big S, but like she says, the context of that lecture that Prabhupada said refers to small S.
But there's another context that really brings up when we're talking about the big S. I don't think you're going to make a mistake either way.
So, you're reading? Go ahead. You're reading the verse?
Which one?
The one in question.
I was just so.
Read the verse and then read the purport.
Yeah.
317, is it? Yeah. Yitoyito Nishchilati. Manas
Well, you know, again, contextualizing it, 16 is evam pravartitam chakram
nanavartitam.
Like he said, my dear Arjuna, one who does not follow in human life the cycle of sacrifice thus established by the Vedas certainly leads a life full of sin. Living only for the satisfaction of the senses, such a person lives in vain. So we're talking about a person living for the life of the senses, and then yatvatmaratya evasya atma tuktas namanava atma
nirvatmaratas
tasya karyam navidyate.
That's the karyam.
But one who takes pleasure in the self, whose human life is one of self-realization, and who is satisfied in the self only, fully satiated, for him there is no duty.
What's the third one?
A person who is fully Krishna conscious and is fully satisfied by his acts in Krishna consciousness no longer has any duty to perform. Due to his being Krishna conscious, all impiety within is instantly cleansed, an effect of many, many thousands of yoga performances. By such clearing of consciousness, one becomes fully confident of his eternal position in relationship with the Supreme. His duty thus becomes self-illuminated by the grace of the Lord, and therefore he no longer has any obligations to the Vedic injunctions. Such a Krishna-conscious person is no longer interested in material activities and no longer takes pleasure in material arrangements like wine, women, and and similar infatuations.
It can go either way, Maharaj.
The Purport doesn't refer to anything.
No, but it does. It says that he's fully
engaged
in Krishna consciousness.
Yeah,
that means fully absorbed in Krishna.
Well, first, 16 says, you know, if you live only for the satisfaction of the senses, you live in vain. And then it says, but one takes pleasure in the self.
Yes. It's with spiritual senses.
And then in the next verse, it says, Naiva tasya pritena hato. A self-realized man has no purpose to fulfill in the discharge of his prescribed duties. I think it's out of context to go
to the big self.
To the big
self.
Yes. That was my opinion in the meeting in Vrindavan.
It's out of context. Because this is a line of explanation that Krishna's giving to Arjuna. From this question at the beginning, about why do you want me to engage in all this warfare, because his intelligence is bewildered. But he just got through asking about how do you tell when somebody's in transcendental consciousness, and Krishna there talks about the person who is fixed in the self, in himself, as the soul.
Keep your finger on.
I can do that again. So. Right back to it.
Yeah, okay. Let's look at the purport for that verse again.
Which one?
17.
Well, there's no particular reference to the,
I know
the Supreme Self there.
No. Yeah, but it says, who says this? A person who is fully Krishna consciousness, fully satisfied by his acts in Krishna consciousness, no longer has any duty to perform. Due to his being Krishna conscious, all impiety within is instantly cleansed, an effect of many, many thousands of yajna performances. By such clearing of consciousness, one becomes fully confident of his eternal position in relationship with the Supreme. His duty thus becomes self-illuminated by the grace of the Lord, and therefore he no longer has any obligation.
It's all about the soul.
Listen. I want to read that, then read back to the verse back after here. That's what I want to do. Such a Krishna consciousness.
We're allowed to interrupt if we want to.
I'm not allowed to do that.
What?
He does all the time.
But that's fair, Kate.
I can say what I want.
We're in the election. This is how you win elections in America. You must be clear about this. But for one who takes pleasure in the self, whose human life is one of self-realization, and who is satisfied with self alone, it's clearly self-realization. It's clearly about the self, the lower self. It's clearly about the lower self. And that's, I made that point in the meeting in Vrindavan. But I'm telling you, Dravida made his presentation.
What was his presentation?
I don't remember.
Oh. I'm sure he had some.
Did you argue? Did you agree with it?
No. But it was voted.
That it should be the big S.
Yep.
I guess people who are anti-book change models are really uptight about this, which is one of their things.
Yeah. Because, you know, the truth is, truth be told, you know, there's nothing in this book, this is the newest edition, that would lead anybody away from Prabhupada's teaching. There's not one change in this book that leads one away from Prabhupada's teaching.
So the main anti-book change was are the rhythmics, right? Mainly.
Yeah.
I don't follow it. That's what I get.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And all of these rhythmics are basically following an argument that's presented by a guy who hasn't even taken rhythmic initiation from Prabhupada.
Exactly. But you know, I had a dialogue with Vishwambar, you know.
The Vishwambar?
Yeah, the Vishwambar. The one that was sannyasi in France.
Oh, yeah, the Vishwambar, not the Vishwambar.
No.
Not the one I want.
No. And you know, he pegs his argument on a principle that once an author leaves, then to change his words is not ethical. That's his, the basic, you know, and I, you know, I had a dialogue with him. I had about four or five, you know, exchanges with him. And, yeah, it actually came
that's up. That's a point.
Huh?
I mean, that's a point. It's a valid point.
But, you know, I have quotes from Prabhupada that I keep in my little place, where he asked the devotees to make a list, to keep lists of things that needed to be corrected and correct them. And he talked to the people who were actually there, and who were talking to him about the changes. They say, everyone did, when they did that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to read the marathon and got the books out in such a quick order, everyone knew that there were going to be mistakes and they needed to be corrected. I don't think that you can, I don't think that is a valid,
Yeah, you see, the other thing too is...
Especially when they're turning, when they're replacing things that were taken out of Prabhupada.
The other thing too is this misunderstanding that somehow or another Prabhupada was checking everything.
Yeah.
Every single
thing. The misunderstanding goes deeper than that even. It's that, you know, there was some kind of special connection between Hybrid and him, where Hybrid was poetic and this and that, and most of those kind of poetic things were taken right out of another Gita for the text, for the verses.
Oh, really?
And you know, Hari Sari tells this fantastic story in which, you know, Prabhupada found a paragraph taken out, and it was taken out by Hari Riva because he just thought,
oh, yes, yes,
about
yes.
The moon. But
yes.
The moon thing, and
yes.
Hari Riva said, well, now this is no longer, you know, applicable because they've got it. So therefore you can't read this in the book. You just took it out.
Yeah.
Without even checking the Prabhupada.
Yeah.
So all this thing about Prabhupada checking everything in this relationship between, and Jayadwaita Maharaj in his, you know, analysis makes a very strong argument that Hybrid and Prabhupada weren't even together physically enough times for enough time for that to be true. It's just not true that Prabhupada went over like that. And then they use this inane argument, and this guy, what's his name? When you're talking about the Maruvita, you know, the one that gave you self-initiation, you know, from the Prabhupada picture.
Which one?
In Maruvita.
He was there in England.
Oh, man.
That's not the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about that little Indian guy, Krishna Khan.
Oh, Krishna Khan. So. Anyway, he did bring up the point that, look, he said, this translation was read out in front of Prabhupada in class, and he didn't object. Therefore, he approved it. But when he was there in front of his very senior, he talked to the devotees, and what happened was he got blown right out of the water, and in the end, he was coming to our side, and it was recorded.
That got him out of Mad Mike.
You remember him? Yeah, he came to South Street.
He was a nothing in Australia, and Jayadharma, the Jayadharma initiated him, and Jayadharma wasn't even authorized guru.
Well, that comes out of
Jayadharma initiated him.
Oh, I see. I thought I heard he got initiated. He gave himself initiation.
No, Jayadharma initiated him. Jayadharma wasn't an authorized initiator.
I see.
He just did that in rebellion against Bhavananda.
I see.
Oh, look, I tell you, I've got to say, apart from me, anything that comes out of Australia, forget it.
Well, now that we've got that cleared up, this isn't going to be a podcast, I hope. Maharaj, you're not podcasting this. I push it to erase
it. Is this your podcast we're doing here?
Well, the podcast up until now.
You know, erase this. This conversation is not for podcasting.
Which one?
What we just said, what we just did. Forget it.
Well, you're going to podcast this.